Lee, this is the conference coordinator. At this time, the call is being recorded. If we have any objections, you may disconnect. You may begin conference. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the PPSC meeting on February 18th, 2009. I'm going to ask Liz Gaster to read the roll to make sure we have everybody. Liz?
Great. We have Jeff Newman, Glenda St. Jurie, Aubrey Doria, Gabriel Pinheiro, Ken Bauer, J. Scott Evans, Bertrand de la Chapelle, Liz Gaster, Marika Koning, Margie Milam, and Greg Ruth. And for those who may not be familiar with all the staff names, oh, and Mike Rodenbaugh just joined.
Yay.
So we have several staff people. Marika, Margie, Glenn, and Ken, and I, so quite a number of staff people.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. So the agenda that I have for today is to do to get an update on the volunteers for the work teams, and statements of interest, which I think Glenn has sent around emails earlier on. Number two is to review and discuss the work team rules, including the concerns that Mike has raised, and then come up with a path forward. And then finally, to go over the Mexico City agenda, which I attached to the agenda, to go over those items and see if anyone has comments on it. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to the agenda?
Well, I guess it would be helpful if we have time to discuss what the plans are for Mexico City.
Right, that was agenda item three.
Oh, sorry, thank you.
That's okay. You still sound a little under the weather, Mike.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's go with number one, which is an update on the volunteers for the work teams. And actually, I'll add an agenda item too under that is an orientation meeting planned for Tuesday that Glenn has sent around an email on. I believe everyone on all the work teams should have gotten it. Glenn, you've sent around now, or actually I should say Liz and Glenn, the wiki is updated with all the members of the work team? Is that correct?
Jeff, quite honestly, I haven't looked at the wiki, but I will, and I will get it updated.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm on the wiki, but it doesn't matter.
Pardon?
I said this is Bertrand. I'm not sure last time I checked that I'm on the work teams. But,
okay, then I'll get it updated.
Yeah, I mean, Bertrand, you can join the work teams, either of them, both of them, or you can have...
Yeah, I said I would join both.
Both, okay. Yep, so then we'll get you on both. And I believe everybody has also filed a statement of interest. And if you click on each of the work teams on the wiki page, you will see a link, hopefully, to the statements of interest, I believe. Or I believe it's going up there?
No, it's going up there.
Okay, it's going up there. But Glenn has sent around...
Because some of them have not come, have been very slow in coming in.
Okay. All right.
Jeff, I have a point of order.
Sure.
Just for myself to understand. Is there any point where we would stop taking applications to be on a work team, or are they open to members to join at any time during the process?
You know, I think that is a good first item for the work teams to address.
All right. I'm just a little curious because I'd hate to get, you know, in depth in August, but we'll let the teams work that out themselves. Thank you for answering the question.
Yeah, I don't believe – there haven't been too many people that have joined in the last few days. Or a week, I think maybe a couple individuals. But other than that, I think it's been pretty much set. I don't believe there's been too much in terms of changes.
Jeff, can I?
And if I can add something to that, in general, over this year, with various working groups and everything else, there's a slight trickle at a couple intervals when things happen where you'll get one or two, three people asking to join something. But really, it doesn't seem to happen, so I don't know that it's an issue unless the one or two new people coming in And whenever I've let new people into teams at this point, I've sort of asked them, sit back, read the archives, listen to the old meetings before you start to say too much. But,
right,
you know, that's history. That's not a recommendation. It's
all right.
That's what I've been doing.
Recovery. Thank you so much.
So it sounded like Mike, was that you that wanted to say something?
Yeah, basically what Aubrey said, you know, we have let people in the group quite late, but we just put the onus on them to catch up and not delay the group.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. And then the next item that Glenn sent around to anyone on the work teams, and I believe everyone on the steering committee is on one, at least one of these work teams, there's an orientation planned for this coming Tuesday by ICANN staff, specifically by Rob, on the GNSS improvements process as a whole. There are two times that are set forth for this call. It'll be the same content for each call. And everyone should have received an invite. These are not mandatory. Some of you are quite familiar with all of this, so you might feel like you don't need to attend. But for the people that are newer to the process or just want to hear this stuff again as a refresher, you're more than welcome to join either of those calls. Liz, is there anything else you want to say about the orientation, or does that cover it?
I think that covers it. I mean, it's going to be open to both the Operations Steering Committee work teams and the PPSC work teams, and so it's going to be very generic and, you know, more background information and not particularly specific to the tasks that, you know, our groups are going to be engaged in substantively, but the intent is just to get everyone on the same page, and particularly individuals who may not have worked previously in ICANN groups.
Okay, and then on, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, the real kickoff meeting, the kickoff meetings are in Mexico City, and we'll address that under item 3 of this agenda. But I want to jump into the meat of this call, which is to review the work team rules that are on the wiki, and they've also been sent around on email a few times, but specifically discussing the concerns raised by Mike Rodovog on the current work team rules. So to preface it, I just want to ask Mike and anyone else on the call, except to the extent that the work team rules except to the extent that the charters for the two work teams incorporate the work team rules, did anyone else have any issues with the actual charters? Again, not the work team rules, but the two charters.
No.
Okay, so it sounds, and that's the feeling I got from the emails, but I just wanted to double check. So with respect to the work team rules, why don't I turn it over to Mike to go through his concerns. Mike, a number of these items were actually discussed on the last call, and Liz did a good job at kind of documenting how we came out on those, but I thought it would be good for you to, you know, raise the concerns again and then for us to just talk through them as to why, you know, we didn't do anything else on this. So if you wanted to start, or if you're not feeling well, maybe I can go through the document. It's your choice.
Well, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, especially because I know you talked about it last week, or it was 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry I could not make that call because of a business commitment, but my voice is a little bit shot here. But, you know, I did review the output of the call and Liz's mail, and I just don't feel like my concerns were very well addressed, frankly, and also they're not just my concerns. I know Tim had concerns along the same lines as well, at least. You know, bottom line, I just feel like this is such critical work that we should not be leaving so much discretion up to the chairs. That's essentially the nut of it. And I feel like we can do better to quantify what some of these terms are supposed to mean. I mean, my plain reading of the two bullets, rough consensus position where a small minority disagrees but most agree, and strong support but significant opposition, those mean exactly the same thing. So at minimum, we need to clarify what the differences are between those two categories.
Okay, so does anyone want to to jump in and address that. I can certainly try to recap what we talked about last time, but if anyone else wants to jump in. Okay. Well, I think
this is Tim, Jeff.
Oh, hey, Tim. Good to hear from you. Do you want to jump in then?
Well, you know, I was trying to look at, get caught up here a little bit with some of Mike's changes. Looks like he had some questions. But my concern is the same as Mike's in those two particular bullet points, that I'm not sure a chair is going to, at least if I were the chair and I looked at those and I said, well, I've got, is this rough consensus or strong support? I'm not sure I would know what the difference is. Or it would be difficult to tell what the difference is, I think. And it's one thing to have it on paper, but just being involved in some of the working groups I've been involved in, I think it's, you know, real life is a much different situation, and I think it's going to be difficult. So I don't have any great solutions or suggestions, but I am concerned about those two particular.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, let me go back a step and just say, you know, we inserted a statement in there that says that rough consensus is not necessarily measured by numbers alone. Obviously, unanimous consensus would be numbers, right? But rough consensus is not necessarily measured by numbers alone. Mike had inserted a comment, well, how else is it measured? So I want to open it up to people that were on the call and expressed opinions last time as to why they believe that numbers alone could not measure rough consensus versus majority support.
And Jeff, can I just explain one case that might help clarify where my concern is?
Sure.
And it kind of relates to some of Mike's questions, too. And it's, for example, let's say we have a working group, and there are clearly some individual users or registrants involved who aren't representing, you know, to anyone but themselves, and maybe one or two of those are in disagreement. Now, how does that compare from a consensus viewpoint if we have an entire constituency that may not be in agreement? You know, what's the weight? And I'm not sure we have a great answer for that. Maybe that's what the working group, work team needs to try to sort out. Those are the kinds of things that I get concerned about.
Can I sort of comment or ask some questions?
Sure.
Sorry.
Yep.
I think one of the things is when we get to these working groups, and I know there's always a balance on us, we're supposed to be sort of participating as individuals. This is not a constituency representation opportunity at that point. Now, having said that, obviously, if you have many people from the same constituency participating, then they may have common views. Just if you have many people participating from the same company, or the same nation, or the same, you know, sect, you may find yourself with common views. But I thought that the notion on working groups is that it's a flat space of individuals participating as individuals, and it's only, A, in the creation of charters that you have constituencies, and B, in the commenting of the work, and at the council level, again, that you end up with constituencies. So I think that that's one point. I think that there is a, you know, there is sort of a quantity quality balance when you're saying, do I have rough consensus? Which means that, you know, there's very few viewpoints outstanding. And those very few viewpoints don't all come from the same company, same country, same constituency. And so you're in a very few number. For example, in the new GTLD, we call the rough consensus, even though we had one constituency, basically, you know, a good part of it. So, and then just a last comment, when you get the majority, you're really talking about, it's kind of half and half, but a little bit more seems to be on one way. So it's not quantitative in that you don't count, but, you know, people can pretty much sees the difference between most everybody with some exception, and it's pretty split, but there seems to be, you know, a favor there. The pretty split with a favor there is actually more difficult to call than a rough consensus.
I'm sorry, Ari, but that's, I don't know, you just seem to make our point even more clear, because you basically just leave it up to the discretion of the chair to make that call, and it's all very, very fuzzy as to how they might do that.
Well, the thing is, it's up to the chair, except that if the chair makes that call and everybody screams, no, 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 that's wrong, then either the chair has to back down, so the chair has to be very careful making that call, or it gets appealed back up to the next group saying, we've got a chair that just can't call things right. And that's the mechanism that actually makes it work, is that, A, everybody can scream bloody about a broken call, and, B, it can be appealed.
Well, this is Tim. The issue that really raises then, Aubrey, is, and I admit, you know, I mean, I'm a registrar, right, so the policy that comes out of all this work ends up being regulation enforced against me. For registries, it's the same way. So if working groups are going to be approached in that way, where it's this flat thing with just individuals, then we need to put a lot of thought into who we invite into those working groups so that the policy work that they do, you know, it has the right experts, it has the right people, it has the right mix, so that they can make really good recommendations. It can't just be an ad hoc volunteer group of anybody who wants to join. And, you know, especially when we're talking about, you know, the Internet today, where, you know, I can go out in a half an hour. I can create a dozen different identities and submit a dozen different, interest statements. And, you know, who knows? Or I can have, you know, my kids and my neighbors. And I mean, there's got to be some sort of way of having this working group be representative, so that the recommendations that it produces and gives to the council can be viewed in some sort of light that makes sense. And
right.
If it's a flat thing where none of that's relevant, I don't see how it's going
to
work.
So, Tim, I think you just helped make the point as to why we can't just use numbers alone. Right? If you have a lot of individuals on a group, and you know, these are individuals that haven't participated before, and so they're kind of new, you don't know where necessarily they came from, you have statements of interest, you can't just say, well, 75% of the people participating support it, and therefore it's got rough consensus, or, you know, 51%, and therefore you got majority. You really have to evaluate the opposition as opposed to just quantifying.
And I think also we can't view this in a vacuum. I mean, you don't get to just set up camp at an ICANN meeting and set up a work group. I mean, under the new thresholds, there has to be thresholds that were met, and there has to be an entire process that's being looked at and redesigned, instituted before this even gets, a work group even gets constituted. And then it has to go through public comment where the constituency level has the ability to weigh in to both the council and the board. And then it has to go back to the council, and the council has to consider it more at a constituency level. And then it goes to the board from the council. So with all of these layers of checks and double checks and an appeal process involved, I mean, I think that I've heard both Tim and Mike say, well, I don't really see the difference between rough consensus and majority support but a significant opposition. Well, I can tell you, majority of people would say, well, if I'm a loser, it's the third bullet. So, I mean, and that's always going to be. So what you've got to do is you've just got to do this. There is going to have to be – we have to use the appeal mechanism as a way to check and balance this. We have to use the members to participate to police the chair's actions to make sure they are reflective of what's going on in a work group. And then the constituencies at the GNSO level are going to have to manage the process and make sure it's working correctly.
Right. Let me just add to that, to Jay Scott. I think the chairs will be super conservative, at least for the first couple PDPs and working work teams and working groups. And I also believe that this is an item that the working group work team will work on, right?
And I think some of my points need to be explored further. But what I really, I mean, we're not saying that these rules are going to be the work team rules that will be applied to the whole process when we finish this exercise. We're saying for these two groups, this is what we're going to do, with the understanding the work team group is going to take these and look these and explore further the questions that both Mike and Tim have raised. But I'd hate to see us get all hung up when we've got a June pressurized timeline. You know, we're going to stall the council and nothing is going to get done if we don't start getting some things done.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I just don't think we're giving the chairs enough guidance to go on. And I think that we should spend a little bit more time trying to clarify exactly what we want them to do.
Can I point this out again?
Sure.
One of the things this may be an issue for the working group team, but at the moment we're really only talking about the charters for the working group, the working team method for these two teams.
Right.
So certainly within the working group team, you know, I'll probably still argue against you in terms of making solid stuff, but it's that's a later discussion than the one we're having now.
And any issue that any of the work teams have could also be escalated to the PPSC, to the steering committee.
And we can solve a lot of this. Just vote for Jeff and I as your chairs, and we're going to do a great job.
Yeah, that statement should not have been made.
Why for this
particular process, and do we need to even ask the chair to make that call? Why can't the chair just report? You know, it's going to come to a point where this has been thoroughly discussed. Everyone's views have been considered. You know, here's where we are, and don't make a call.
Yeah, I think the chair will make a call, and then my guess is the chair would communicate that call to the work team. You know, like if I were the chair of the PDP work team and for some reason I thought that we had rough consensus with a small minority, I'm not just going to put that in a final report and let it go. I would bring that up on a call and say, hey, my interpretation of this is that we have rough consensus. You know, what are your thoughts on that? And ultimately, the chair would have to make a call, but I don't think the chair would do that without running it by the work team or working group or whatever they're running.
I think there's another piece, too. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Aria. I'll take right? Just a label. They can. Here's the majority view. Here's who supports it. Here are the other views, and who supports it.
And that's part of what's included is the fact that the report that says we had rough consensus, et cetera, also contains all the views of those who didn't agree. So again, the full picture is there. Anybody can read it and say, how could you possibly call off consensus when you had this strong a bunch of coherent views that you didn't address properly?
Right. So all I'm saying, Aubrey, is then we don't need the labels. Maybe that'll solve Mike's concerns, my concerns, and the steering committee will, you know, frame it, however, for the council.
This is Beth Hall. Can I
yes.
Chime in?
Yes, absolutely.
I think the issue that we're addressing here is absolutely consubstantial to the evolution that we are supposed to help put in place. What is basically at stake is a change in the way the GNSO has been working, if I understand correctly, from this notion of the task forces where basically the weight and the composition allowed for natural and easy voting methods. What is at stake here is introducing a work group method or working group method that we will have to design, but one of the core elements of a working group approach is precisely this notion of rough consensus. And a portion of the work that will have to be done will be to have this very discussion a bit further. What are the conditions under which a chair can call rough consensus, and to piggyback on what was said before, it is not a responsibility, as far as I understand, for the chair to say, I decide that I call Wealth Consensus. The way I understand what has been explained to me concerning Wealth Consensus is that there is a responsibility for the chair at a given moment to say exactly what you said before. It seems that there is a rough consensus, and if there is a general uproar saying, no, there is not, then there's no rough consensus. But the other point was also the question of representation, and the very core distinction between the participation, as Avery said, of individuals in the group with the objective that the groups are as balanced as possible and representative of the different viewpoints, not so much the constituencies, but the diversity of viewpoints, and the fact that afterwards the constituencies will validate the quality of the work of the group in the process, but also when it reaches the council. And here we have one element of articulation between the two work teams that we have established, because the way the work of the working group will be validated is precisely an issue that we will discuss in the PDP work team. And so the two issues are articulated, and the reason why we have a problem at this moment is that somehow there is a sort of self-reference. We are trying to solve for the charter, the very issue that will be the subject of the working groups or the work teams. And so when we talk about the rough consensus and what it is, how it works, at what stages and under what criteria and how the work groups are formed, this is exactly the subject that we will have to address. So I wonder whether one element wouldn't be to just mention this notion of rough consensus without having something too detailed, and just like there was an agreement on letting the work teams themselves decide whether they will be relatively open or not, it will be typically an agreement among the members that the wording rough consensus in the charter will be one of the topics that we will have to discuss anyway.
So would your recommendation then be to, at this point, leave the language as is and then wait? I mean, obviously the working group work team will address this issue, and that could retroactively change these rules. Is it more of a kind of leave the language as is and wait and see, or do you think there should be a current change to this language?
I think that spontaneously the wording as is could remain, but that there is an understanding among the group that precisely what rough consensus call means is a key part of the discussion of the group. It seems self-referential, but somehow this is also the nature of the kind of processes that we're in. What we're doing here is creating a work group.
Okay. I'm going to
define how a work group works.
I wanted to get back to you.
If there's someone speaking, I'm sorry. There we go. Sounds like we were put on mute.
I think that, you know, I agree with Bertrand that maybe a solution is to put a footnote under the three bullet points to say that there was considerable discussion about these points and that the working group team needs to pay special attention to this, and everyone realizes that this particular formulation is fluid and may be subject to change depending on the work of the work team.
Yeah, this is Tim Jeff.
Yep.
You know, if what I understand is correct, that, you know, since this report is going to include the detail, and if the steering committee is going to consider the detail, and the consensus call is just a label, then I don't have a problem with how you define it. But it's just because this is such a deep discussion, it just concerns me that at least some members' mind that maybe this label has more meaning than it's just a label. But if that's the understanding, it's a label, but we're going to dig down beneath that to make sure we agree, and then we're going to analyze it from a constituency point of view, blah, blah, then they are just labels and I'm not sure how they're defined.
Okay, and Mike, what do you think of that?
I think it might help if I inserted some language to the effect that the chair should strive to reach unanimous consensus positions in all instances. That would be helpful. And then I'd like a little bit more clarity on really how these things, again, are measured. Is it by constituencies? Is it by people? Because I think that the concern's been expressed pretty well by Tim that, you know, you can have somebody brand new coming out of the woodwork on this work team, and so is their opinion equal to mine when I represent, you know, a business constituency? And these questions just are not answerable based on the guidance we're giving now.
Mike, yeah, just one like friendly amendment to what you just said. Is it so much that the chair should strive to achieve both consensus, or is it that the working group should strive to achieve both consensus?
Well, it's fine, but the chair is the one that ultimately decides to cut off debate on an issue or not.
So it says, you know, if you go back a paragraph, it says the PPSC work team shall function on the basis of rough consensus, meaning that all points of view will be discussed until the chair can ascertain that the point of view is understood and has been covered. And then it says rough consensus is not necessarily measured by numbers alone. You would like to start out by saying maybe something like, although the PPSC work team shall strive for unanimous consensus, or are you saying change that whole thing?
So if you don't change it, then you need to define it a lot better, is my point. Unanimous, I understand. Unanimous ought to be what we're striving for. I think we all agree on that. Of course, we all understand that's not always going to happen. But at some point, debate needs to be cut off, no question.
Right.
The question is, though, when and what is a small minority and, you know, does that mean one person, or does that mean one constituency? What's the reason?
If I can add, I think that you've got two different discussions there. I think debate can only be cut off when all points of view have been expressed and understood, regardless of how many people sign on each side. And then at the point at which the working group can say, yeah, we all understand everybody's point of view, but I disagree here, he disagrees there, is then when you determine, are you in rough consensus or are you pretty much split? But I think those two are different, and I think that's what was in part of what Bertrand said, that it's not necessarily people, it's not necessarily constituencies, is that all points of view have been considered, and even if it is only one small voice of a person with a point of view that makes a coherent point, it needs to have been considered and understood, and then perhaps not agreed with, but that's beside the point.
May I contribute an external reference on the very good reference of Wikipedia on the notion of rough consensus?
Sure.
Which refers, of course, to the way it was used in the IETF that I'm very familiar with. But if I can read it loud, it's working group make decisions through a rough consensus process. This consensus does not require that all participants agree, although this is, of course, preferred. In general, the dominant view of the working group shall prevail. However, it must be noted that dominance is not to be determined on the basis of volume of participants, but rather a more general sense of agreement. Consensus can be determined by a show of hands, humming, or any other means on which the working group agrees, between parentheses, by rough consensus, of course. Note that 51% of the working group does not qualify as rough consensus, and 99% is better than rough. It is up to the chair to determine if rough consensus has been reached. And I think, once again, it is not merely a label, and it is very good and natural that the concerns that Mike raised were raised, because it is a huge part, I believe, of the substantive discussion of the two work teams. On the one hand, in the work team on working group methodology, This will address in particular this notion of whether the participants of a working group are individuals or representative of a constituency, have a certain weight beyond the convincing value of their arguments or not. On the other hand, in the PDP work group, there will be the whole question of, even if there is an agreement within a working group, does that constitute a final decision of sort that is just pushed forward, upwards, or is it submitted to a broader review by the constituencies that then can say, well, the agreement that was reached by the group was not a real agreement because we really strongly object to that and we were not heard, for instance. So the substance is not at all a light question. It is, on the contrary, the very essence of the discussions we'll have afterwards. And so I don't know what is the good reference, but maybe a footnote, as was said, that indicates that this very notion of rough consensus will be a fundamental element of the discussion of the work group would be a way forward.
This is Tim. You know, if that's going to be the case, then I mean, we need to give a lot more serious thought to how we define these. And the reason I call it a label is that if this work comes to the steering committee, and the steering committee is going to evaluate it, has the ability to say, well, you know, we don't necessarily agree with the conclusion, and make a different decision, then in a lot of ways, then it is a label, and it's, or whatever you want to call it. But if the steering committee is capable of that, and if that's the intent, which I think it is, then I'm not as concerned about how those consensus calls are defined. But if there's some implication that there's some binding result based on this consensus call that the steering committee is bound to, then that's a whole different story.
Well, then let's look at the policy process steering committee's charter. What power have we given them to the definition of the charter?
Not much.
Responsible for reviewing and recommending process used within the GNSO for developing policy and recommending any changes. So it's the PPSC that reviews and recommends.
Correct.
It's not the work team. The work team delivers its conclusions to the Policy Process Steering Committee. They review and they decide what to recommend.
Exactly, and so that's why maybe the choice of saying it's not a label is a bad way to phrase it, but that's why I'm not as concerned after giving you some thought about how we define that. I think it's good to have at least good instructions for
the
chair,
if
possible, but as long as we are going to, the steering committee is making the final call, I'm not concerned.
Well, they're not making the final. They're only making the final call what goes to the GNSO council.
Right, and then at that point,
yes, that's what I meant.
Right, it's got more public comment periods after that constituencies can step up and say we disagree. And
right.
So what I'm hearing is that we insert a footnote after this section, basically stating that the one of the fundamental issues that the working group work team needs to look at is this whole notion of what constitutes rough consensus, and that each work team should strive to achieve unanimous consensus, but we recognize that that may not always be possible.
And that because this is a fundamental issue, the work team will look at these work rules, and they are subject to change based on whatever determinations or recommendations the PPSC sees fit, or something.
Based on what the PPSC sees fit, or what the
work team is going to look at the rules and consider the issues that Mike and Tim have raised, and then they will make a recommendation on either unanimous consensus, rough consensus, or whatever to the PPSC. And the PPSC, as I understand the charter, reviews it and decides what then it will pass on. It could say, yeah, well, we've got 100 other questions. You need to look at these too before we go up to the GNSO Council. They don't adopt wholesale, as I understand, whatever they're handed.
Okay.
They review, discuss, and recommend.
So I have the three points are that the this is one of the fundamental issues for the working group work team to evaluate. Work teams should strive to achieve unanimous consensus, but we recognize that may not always be possible. And three, that these work team rules are subject to change based on the evaluation of the designation of the chair by the PPSC.
The evaluation of whatever recommendations
okay.
come out of the work group by the PPSC.
Okay, recommendations that come out. Sorry, I'm just writing this down.
Liz?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking you need a slide. I don't remember seeing it where you go through this last part we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Where it says work teams report in, policy steering committee does this, then it goes up to the GNSO council.
Right, that's for the orientation you're talking about.
Orientation. I'm just thinking that workflow needs to be in a slide if it's not, and I don't remember seeing it.
I know, I think there's one place where it talks about the CDP saying those are the steps, but I'll make sure it's in the overall.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Mike Rodovar, you've been a little silent the last few minutes. Would that satisfy, keeping the language as is, but dropping a footnote that has all three of these points?
You know, frankly, no. I'm not happy with a footnote to resolve these issues, but I do not want to belabor the point. I am heartened a little bit with the realization that this group is not going to be a rubber stamp on the working team output, which is something that I pushed for in the PPSC charter. Certainly, I never intended to be that way, but I think others might have. And as long as I suppose it's subject to change based on practice, I'm not hearing any consensus around the specific changes that I've proposed, although I'm also not hearing any reason why they don't make sense. But perhaps you discussed that in the last call and I missed it. You're asking me if I'm comfortable with a footnote resolving these. The answer is really no, but I don't know what choice I really have, Jeff.
Is it the fact that it's a footnote, or do you want to see it in the text itself?
Certainly would rather see it in the text.
So possibly an italicized text below this, would that be okay?
Yeah, and I think, did you have in there the notion that, they're going to strive for unanimous consensus?
Right, that was point two. Point one was that this is one of the fundamental issues that the working group work team needs to evaluate as part of its job. I mean, we'll word it better, but point two is that the work team should always strive to achieve unanimous consensus, but we recognize that may not always be possible. And point three is that these rules are subject to change based on the evaluation of the recommendations that come out of the working group work team by the PPSC.
Okay. Can we do anything to discuss some of my specific questions about how these things are measured in terms of people or constituencies? And also the question about, the fact that usually constituency reps are not going to be able to say they have consensus of their constituencies in almost all cases.
Well, it's my understanding that, that the point that Aubrey made early on was at the working team level that you're participating as an individual, not as a constituency, and that you, for that reason, you as Mike Rodenball would get no more weight than an individual. Now, there are, as I understand the process, the constituency has, it's on the council, there are constituency representatives on the PPSC, but they're not at the working group level. So the constituency would weigh in at the PPSC and council levels and in the public comment period.
Okay. So then there needs to be adequate time between the work team output and the PPSC review of that output in order to get constituency consensus. And in our constituency, that means basically 30 days.
Yeah, this is Tim.
Okay. Tim.
That would be fine. The point Mike just made, if we're going to go ahead. The only issue I think we need to keep aware of is, and maybe it's it's just that if there's no opportunity for constituency representatives to be constituency representatives in these work teams and to get constituency views, then I see that once the work team is done, the potential for, you know, a complete, you know, potential reversal of what is considered consensus once those views are obtained. I hope that wouldn't be the case for you.
No.
I think that's just a potential we need to consider to be aware of.
In my experience, and I'll let Arvey speak to this too, the constituencies do participate, and they do get their things out. There are individuals there that are actively involved in the constituencies that, while it may not be a consensus position of their constituency, it's a general direction that their constituency wants them to go in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we would know in a working team that when Mike spoke or when you spoke, that while there wasn't necessarily constituency consensus behind it, that this was a point of view that was well represented within that constituency. And people would know that when I spoke, there was merely one person, you know, braying in the wind. And people would be able to tell the difference between that, and would they be able to, you know, make their judgment that, yes, I know it's just Mike, but, you know, we understand that there is a constituency there. And so while people participate as individuals, and I think that's a very important thing to keep in mind, we all recognize that to some degree, it's a fantasy. You know, we belong to companies, we belong to constituencies, we have ACLU cards, you know, and that's known about us. So when we speak, the rest of the baggage that we carry is indeed there. But the definitional notion is that we participate as individuals so that the constituency isn't burdened by what someone said that was a member of the constituency, even though the person said it with some of that weight behind them. And it becomes a very dynamic thing. And, I mean, having spent 20 years in the IETF, and I know I was doing technology and not policy, it essentially works. It falls apart periodically, and there are appeals, but it essentially works.
So Mike brought up a point that he thinks there should be ample time for between the work team report to the PPSC to get constituency views on the work team report.
I think it's going to have to be, because at the PPSC level, you're serving at the behest of your constituency.
Right. And at the PPSC level, we've already said it's full consensus. So whether we define a full 30 days or we define a max, you know, until all the members are ready, you know, because it's full consensus at the PPSC level, you've kind of got it.
Yeah.
Well, but let's...
Yeah,
let's,
putting it informally is good, but you've kind of got it.
But let's be a little bit careful, right, because the PPSC's role is not to do... may not be to do a complete reevaluation of everything that the work team did, right? I mean, there is...
I think it's a review of the recommendations, and I don't know if you reevaluate it. If you don't agree with it, I think you've got to say why and send it back down.
Well, what is it that you don't... Let me just play devil's advocate. What is it that you don't agree with? You don't agree that the work team's results were actually their results, or you don't agree with the decision the work team came to? In other words, even if there was unanimous consensus, let's say the work team decided that a total PDP could be 90 days, right? Now, we all think that's kind of ludicrous now, but let's say the work team said 90 days is an appropriate time for a full PDP to last. Is it the PPSC's role to just say, I completely disagree with them, or is it I disagree with the process they used? What is it we disagree with?
I think it is our right to disagree with anything that they do because it's our job to make the recommendations to the council.
Yeah, I think it has to be justified. In that instance, I think you could point to enough justification to saying 90-day timelines never worked.
You know, I obviously don't think that's a very good example, but we shouldn't be creating hypotheticals because it really could be any issue that they come up with.
Right. So putting aside the hypothetical, the question is, even if the work team has unanimous consensus on a position, is it the PPSC's role to disagree with that position even though there was unanimous consensus?
This is Beth Holm.
Beth Holm, yes.
Yeah, I think what this discussion highlights is that whenever there is a process that goes bottom-up from a work group to another layer, then another layer, then another layer, like typically PPSC, then the council, then the board, at each level there is a distinction between process revision or substance revision. In terms of process revision, I could imagine that the PPSC, for instance, says there was a consensus call made by the chair that transferred the results of the group, but there seems that there is significant discontent within the group or from other constituencies outside that consider that this cannot be a consensus or this is not appropriate, so it sends it back. Or it can be a consent on the substance. It is not up to the PPSC in that case or to the next level to change on its own the substance of the recommendation. But there can be reasons, I suppose, where on the substance something seems not working or not appropriate, and maybe the PPSC or then the council or maybe the board at each step can ask to move one step backwards and rework on a specific aspect. The two notions are different and complementary. One is on the process, whether the due process has been followed, and the other one is potentially on the substance, but each level should not be rewording what has been prepared at the lower level. In any case, it should be sent back.
And I personally
disagree with that.
I'm sorry. I personally agree with that. I think that really the PPSC's role would be to send it back as opposed to substituting its own judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're correct. And I think one of the difficult things we've got, Jeff, is a lot of these issues have yet to be explored because the work teams haven't done their job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this is going to be defined by the work team itself. This is our general understanding. And I think that that's the way we have to perceive this point. But we can't decide everything because it's all I'm saying is I think there are enough stops in the process at the PPSC level, at the public comment level, and at the council level, along with appeals, that at least to get us going, there's enough of a stop gap measures to help us so that it doesn't get away from us, which I think is some of Mike and Tim's concerns. And they're legitimate.
So I
think we're going to have to go with sort of a general understanding and let these teams drill down. I think Mike's point about 30 days is excellent, and we need to do that now. We need to say that we're going to give them 30 days once it gets to the PPSC for them to talk to their constituencies. But the rest of it, we sort of need to take into debate and let it formulate with a general understanding that we're still percolating things.
Right, so Tim, you know, I don't understand why the PPSC couldn't reformulate. I mean, what where is it in our charter that would prevent us from doing that? Aren't the work teams there to support the responsibilities that have been assigned to the PPSC? So I don't think I don't see any reason why that should be closed off. Maybe that's not what other groups have done in the past, but that doesn't make them, you know, the only way of doing something.
And I think those are two.
PPSC is one assigned with responsibility. That should be an open possibility that we don't necessarily send it back. We tweak it and we send it on our own.
Right, right. So let me jump in there and say it's not closed off. I think I just gave my personal viewpoint and probably something I would argue if it came to that point.
You know, okay, and I think that's valid, but I think both of you highlight that there are different positions about that, and that needs to be explored.
Correct. So, all right, let's go back a second, and let's the overall goal, what we're trying to accomplish here, is to get these work team rules to a place where we can get the work teams kicked off and started next week or a week in a couple days in Mexico City. So I'd like to get these work team rules to a point where we can get that work done. So we have the italicized text that we're going to add, raising those few points. Mike had brought up a question on his ideas about what he had added with, you know, numerically based or whether it was based on constituencies. I think we've answered that in a sense of it's the intention of the PPSC to get constituency review after the work team submits its report. Mike, does that answer your questions? Or?
Yes, I think so.
But do we need a statement in here that says, well, this is the work team rules, not the PPSC rules? Or perhaps a note in the on the wiki under the PPSC charter, since that's already approved, just saying that it's our intention to give at least a 30-day period for constituency views after the work team submits a report. Some kind of notation.
Jeff, it's Liz. I'm just having trouble hearing you. There's some kind of background noise, and I know I'm supposed to be catching this.
Sorry.
To do. So I don't want to miss what you're suggesting.
Okay. It sounds better. It sounds like someone put their phone on mute, which got rid of that echo. I guess my point is that we go with the text that we were talking about in italicized form in a paragraph below the one that we were just addressing, the bulleted points, and that somewhere we put in some notation under the charter, but not in the charter because that would require a CSO council approval, that the PPSC intends to have at least a 30-day period after the submission of the work team reports to allow for constituency or to allow people to go back to their constituencies to solicit their viewpoints.
Yes, I think that would be helpful.
And Liz, we can work on, we're just putting it in the wiki, so we can work on.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, this is Aubrey, and I've got to leave now for another call, but I want to say that I think this is all cool, and I think part of it is guaranteed by the fact that we have unanimity at this level, so we should be okay.
Right.
But anyhow, I'm going to hang up on this one now. Bye.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Jeff, so do I.
Okay.
Margie, I think, is still on, so.
All right. I think we're done with this subject, and I think just briefly, I just wanted to go over the Mexico City agenda.
Okay. If Margie can stay on for that, so I can jump off and.
Jeff, are we going to assume
that we've
gotten
the italicized points? Margie, if you have them, that'd be great. Or I can listen to the transcription, but I just had a little trouble hearing that whole section. Okay, sorry to jump off. Thanks.
Okay, Jay Scott, to answer your question you started bringing up, the path forward then is to get this paragraph documented, send it around to the group, and assuming we hear no objection that this is, in the next week, that's going to be the document that's presented to the work teams in Mexico as their rules. Anyone disagree with that? Okay, hearing no disagreement and hopefully still having most of the people on the call, the proposed agenda that I put out for Mexico City, I discussed a little bit with some ICANN staff. We have from 9 a.m. till 12 p.m. Mexico time on Saturday and the morning on March 1st, 2009, Sunday, reserved for the GNSO Improvement Steering Committees and Work Teams. What we thought, what Jay Scott and I had talked about as well, is having the first hour and 15 minutes on Saturday to basically do some introduction. It's a full meeting between the PPSC and the two work teams. Do some introductions, followed by a presentation that I would give or Jay Scott or a combination on what is in the current PDP, followed by a presentation prepared by the policy staff, ICANN, as to what the concerns were expressed by the board and what the work team should be looking at, and then doing a brainstorm session by the work team members, again, this is combined, of their perceptions of the current PDP. Now, this fourth item is not, it's not a solution meeting in the sense of we don't want people to come up with solutions saying, you know, I think the PDP should be 200 days long, right? What we really want to hear is just get out there, no matter how, you know, whatever their perception is of the PDP, you know, so the timelines are too short, the, you know, maybe the staff saying we don't have enough time to do an issues report. It could be anyone else, just basically throwing out there all the perceptions. We thought it would be a kind of a useful exercise before the work teams kind of separated out. We would take a break between 10:15 and 10:30 and then convene the individual work teams where we would basically start the substance of the kickoff meeting. Does anybody have any thoughts on at least the first hour and 15 minutes as to what our thoughts are on doing that?
Jay Scott, I like it.
Did you help come up with it?
I can vote for myself.
Mike, is that okay?
He may have dropped off.
Well, he's still showing on here. Greg Ruth's still on. Tim, anyone have any thoughts on that first part of the agenda?
Sounds okay. This is Greg.
Okay.
Yeah. This is Bertrand. It's fine. I will have to check a problem of conflict of timing with the at-large summit where I have to make a presentation on the GAC, but I will juggle. That's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and unfortunately there's conflicts. And again, we intend, and policy staff can confirm, but the intention is to have a conference bridge for those that don't arrive in Mexico at that point.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Okay. And then what we thought would happen on March 1st, Sunday, the day after, would be to reconvene the two teams and the PPSC to just for a short period of time. It wouldn't necessarily be long at all, and it wouldn't have to start at 9. I'm not sure what time we have in the morning. Ouch. What time we have in the morning to, but I believe we have the entire morning. I think it would just need to be an hour for all of us to get together at the most and just kind of discuss what happened the day before in the individual work team meetings, and then to make sure we all have an understanding on the path forward.
Jeff, the only request that I would have is do we make it mid-morning if we have the whole morning? So if one of the work teams wanted to meet first thing in the morning because they didn't come to a conclusion they wanted to on Saturday, they could before we got the whole group together again.
Yeah, I was intending to do that because I know people like to sleep anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so it'll be up to the groups whether they want to meet or sleep.
Right. So I was thinking something like 10. If we have the whole morning, something like 10 to 11 or something like that.
I think it's super.
Just one question. Is there any possibility of not having the two work teams meeting at the same time for the very few who have taken the burden of participating in both? Especially as it's the kickoff physical meeting, can we combine the 28th and March 1st, for instance?
Yes, I think Bertrand, I think you're the only one that's on both work teams.
I wonder whether Avery is not.
No, she's not.
She's not?
No.
Oh, okay, if I'm the only one, though, so it doesn't make sense. Okay.
But and we'll, and they'll, I believe they'll both be either transcribed or report or.
But actually, one of the reasons also why I'm asking that is I wonder whether it wouldn't be better to have a joint session rather on the first day and have the separate sessions in the on the first, because one of the key challenges that I highlighted in other discussions on the OSC is the fact that there is a strong articulation and relationship between the way the working groups are going to function and the way the PDP is going to function. And so I'm wondering whether, especially at the start of the discussion, it wouldn't be good to have a broader common vision among all the different actors on what are the elements that connect one group with the other in terms of substance.
Yeah, so I think that, so that was kind of our intention by having the first, on the 28th, having the first hour and 15 minutes be the work teams combined, and so that we could go through what the current PDP is, what the board's recommend, what the board recommends, or I'm sorry, what the board's concerns with the current PDP were, and then to have kind of a joint session as to what people's perceptions are of the current PDP and working groups, so that after they could take that knowledge after the first hour and 15 minutes to break out at 10:30, you know, after a little break, to break out for an hour and a half to meet as individual work teams, and then to meet combined on March 1st to discuss what the individual work teams had talked about the day before. This actually enables us to have a joint meeting, then two separate meetings, and then come back to a joint meeting.
Hmm. I wonder whether an hour and 15 minutes will be enough to have any discussion among the groups. Because typically the kind of discussion that we had in this call took about an hour, and it's one of the elements that will necessarily pop up at one moment or the other. And I wonder, but it's just a suggestion, whether it wouldn't be better to have the first day mostly together in order to distribute the articulation between the two, because in any case there's an hour and 15 minutes plus an hour and a half. It's very short. There will be a relatively large group, and then having the two work teams work in parallel on the first, even with just a brief getting together at the end if necessary. But I spontaneously would think that it is better to have a broader discussion all together at the very beginning, a bit longer, and then split on the on March 1st.
Hey, Scott, what are your thoughts?
I personally think that if we're having a primer on this next Tuesday, two calls to sort of set everybody up on the background. Yeah, don't forget that, Bertrand.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Then we're going to come in to have a meeting where we sort of get the lay of the land again and do a whiteboard session or on the PDP itself. Then we're going to break into two groups to sort. But if we have got to get this moving, and you know the whole point is, the reason we're doing this is so that you have the afternoon of the late morning on the 28th, and the early morning should you see fit as a work team. So you could possibly have up to 2.5 to 3 hours of time as a work team before you get back together with the group. But we really have to intensify the work group team when we have people face-to-face. And it is the responsibility of those who want to participate to make sure they sort of have a general understanding of everything by attending the primer next week and reading the Tweaky and all the background materials. So these groups have got to get started. We've got March to June. And they really need to start drilling down into the detail work of each team. So I feel comfortable with the schedule as Jeff and Liz and I put it together. I see Bertrand has some points, but unfortunately I don't know if time dictates that we're going to be able to give it that level of detail.
Yeah, I see the argument, but if I may share a general remark regarding the subject that we're addressing. One thing that I've seen in the last 2 years that I've participated, 2 years and a half that I've participated in ICANN processes, is a general trend that takes a long time to establish the groups, and then there's a rush to get to the solution or the details without often spending time enough in a broader setting to exactly identify what are the points. And I am just a little bit afraid that by splitting too quickly, and we're just talking about changing one day and the next, it's not about a lengthy period of time, whether the common understanding of the articulation between the work that the PDP work group will make and the work group team will make will not be sufficient. People will be rushing, I am afraid, without enough. I'm perfectly conscious of the time constraints, but I feel, and it's just my sense, of course, but I feel that this is a perfect illustration of one of the things that we want to improve. I'm afraid that the 1 hour and 15 minutes will be much too short to get the common understanding. But I may be wrong.
So, you know, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about your statement about common understanding. I think really the aim at the beginning is to just set forth what the PDP is and where each work team fits in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the work teams split up, if it seems like to the chairs or to the people in the work teams that there's not a common understanding, I think that's one of the perfect things to address on the first.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think we are just toying with two days, basically. If at the end of the brainstorming session there's a feeling that there would be a benefit in keeping the discussion going in that format, I suppose it wouldn't be that hard to modify on the spot.
Correct. I think that's
absolutely
right.
So let's do it this way and we'll see.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
Anybody awake?
Is anybody still on? Yeah, we still have a few of us still on.
So, Jeff, Margie, just to confirm, we're leaving the schedule the way it is in the email you sent out?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
We just need to confirm what times are available to us on Sunday. All of
okay.
Those on the GNSO agenda is morning.
Yeah.
So if we do have all morning, what I'd like to do is schedule for 10 to 11 for the combined teams, and this way if the individual teams want to meet earlier than that, they can, mm-hmm. based on the discussions that happened the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So we should still have the rooms, but not necessarily do the meetings. That's kind of a wait and see.
Okay.
And so, Margie, I'm going to put down in a on the first item, I'll just document my notes from that on the three items that we put in italicized text in the work team rules.
Okay.
And then you and Liz can just massage it and, you know, if you want, make it sound better. And then we want to forward it out to the group.
Got it.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right. Well, I look forward to seeing everybody in Mexico City in just a week and a half.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks. Have a safe flight, everyone out there.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.